Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 61 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Andweza.
It's got a lot of different fingers, and it's a big spider web.
Two have been indicted in a complex scheme to defraud Moorhead State University.
MSU is celebrating National Telecommunications Week.
Democratic candidates for governor had a chance to make their case to a Louisville Rotary Club this afternoon.
Gubernatorial hopeful Andy Beshear has proposed shoring up the state pension system through expanded gambling.
The flu season is not over in the Commonwealth.
In sports, the Eagles lost to Eastern Illinois in Moorhead this afternoon.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 90% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, low around 44 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
The Rowan County Circuit Court has indicted two people accused in a scheme to defraud Moorhead State University. A grand jury handed down indictments to two defendants, one in California and one in Minnesota. Ernest Lazatera and Yingumwina Inwanmanico are charged with theft by unlawful taking of more than $500, but less than $10,000, among other charges. Moorhead State Police Detective Mike Martin says the case involves an MSU employee's payroll check.
It's basically a scam type operation. Say, for instance, I contact you. I want to borrow your account. I'm going to send you $10,000, take $1,000 out of your account. Then I'm going to provide you with other addresses to send out the remaining $9,000. So you send it to this one in Tennessee, this one in Chicago, this one in Florida, whatever addresses I give you, that's where you send the money to. And that was what was occurring.
Martin says the scheme is like a, quote, spider web with several other individuals likely involved. Additional charges may be filed. The incident remains under investigation.
National Telecommunications Week honors the first responders of the public safety community. The people who train to be first responders have a long training process. Moorhead State University Chief of Police Merle Harrison says their dispatchers have to go through a rigorous process before they even begin training.
There's a lot of steps, including psychological drug screen, polygraphs, criminal background history, criminal background investigations, and everything has to work out just right, and everything has to be good on all those different tests to make sure that they even go to the next phase.
Harrison says first responders have an important role when it comes to public safety.
The Rotary Club of Louisville hosted a gubernatorial forum this afternoon, providing Democratic contenders Rocky Adkins, Andy Beshear, and Adam Edelin a chance to make their case to Rotary Club members. The candidates answered questions ranging from how to solve the pension crisis, legalizing gaming, and more. It was what they viewed as the biggest issue in Kentucky that allowed the candidates to set themselves apart from each other. For Andy Beshear, that issue is health care.
Health care is a basic human right, and that every single Kentuckian should be able to go see a doctor when they're sick. To me, it's not just a matter of policy, it's a matter of faith. And Jesus said a doctor is for the sick, not the well. I've put out a plan that shows exactly how we're going to cover people and the fact that we're not going to trust Washington, D.C. anymore.
Edelin said he believes adapting to a changing economy is the more important issue in Kentucky. Adkins said he wants to grow Kentucky's economy in a way that benefits rural and urban residents equally.
The Mueller report was released Thursday, and many reacted to it, including Kentucky Senator Mitch McConnell. McConnell spoke about the integrity of Robert Mueller, Rod Rubenstein, and Attorney General William Barr at an event in Oldham County.
I don't want you to buy any notions that somehow any of these people are political hacks. They've never run for anything. They have sterling reputations.
Congressional Democrats have been critical of Barr, claiming he drew conclusions from the report that aren't consistent with the material contained within it. Among other details, the report details 10 specific episodes surrounding President Trump and potential obstruction of justice in the Russia investigation. The report did not definitively conclude Trump obstructed justice, but it did not exonerate him either.
Democrat Andy Beshear says he wants to expand gambling in Kentucky and use the proceeds to fund struggling public pension systems. Two of his rivals in next month's gubernatorial primary are taking shots at the proposal. Bashir told a Louisville audience today that his plan calls for earmarking all expanded gambling revenues to shore up public pension plans. Kentucky has one of the country's worst-funded public pension systems. Bashir says he wants to legalize casino gambling and sports betting. His father, former Governor Steve Bashir, pushed for expanded gambling, but never got it through the legislature. State Representative Rocky Adkins says it's a, quote, unrealistic proposal that can't pass the Republican-led legislature. Another candidate, Adam Edelin, says it's a, quote, irresponsible gamble since past proposals failed.
A recall for medication used to treat high blood pressure has expanded for a fourth time, targeting more variants of generic Losartan product produced by Torrent Pharmaceuticals. A recall for the products was originally issued in December. A Thursday update posted by the Food and Drug Administration expanded it to include dozens more. According to the gray media, the recalled pills have been flagged for containing an impurity known as NMBA. According to the FDA, Losartan is used to treat hypertension, hypertensive patients, and for treating nephropathy in type 2 diabetics. The FDA advises patients on these medications to continue taking them until they can find an alternative.
Flu cases are still popping up in the northern Kentucky region. Officials say people should still be cautious of the flu since the season is technically not over. Infectious diseases specialist Dr. Thomas Rushton tells WSAZ he's seeing more cases of influenza B.
I think you have to look at influenza as being almost a year-long process now.
Officials say cases of influenza are not as prevalent as past flu seasons, but residents should remember to frequently wash their hands. And we'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
The Martin County Rescue Squad has been approved for a $50,000 grant, but there is a catch. In order for the squad to receive that grant, they need to raise $15,000. Those who work for the rescue squad do not get paid, so they host roadblocks to raise money. Chief Rex Indicate says the squad's newest vehicle is a 2001 model. Indicate says since their equipment is getting old, it is important to keep their equipment running properly.
Our trucks are getting old and the maintenance is starting to cost a lot more, and if someone was having more trucks go down, we couldn't respond to things that we respond to, car wrecks, search and rescue.
To learn how to donate, visit the Martin County React and Rescue Facebook page.
Kentucky officials say five school districts will receive more than $231,000 to reduce diesel emissions from their school bus fleets. Officials say the funds were made available through the Kentucky Division for Air Quality's Clean Diesel Program and the Federal Diesel Emissions Reduction Act. The State Energy and Environment Cabinet says the funds will go to school districts in Bullitt, Jefferson, Franklin, Letcher, and Greene counties. State officials say the districts will use the funds to replace older model diesel school buses with new diesel buses. They say the new buses will emit 98% less particulate matter and 90% less nitrogen oxide than the older buses being replaced. The state says the five districts will replace a total of 10 diesel school buses.
Four Roses Distillery reopened Tuesday morning after a $34 million expansion to celebrate the release of their new small batch selection. According to WKYT, the expansion and renovation are part of Four Roses' $55 million growth spurt, which includes adding a new bottling facility and more Rick Houses at its warehouse and bottling facility located in Cox's Creek. Master distiller Brent Elliott says the improvement is great for the company.
Consumers are always looking for something different, and so we went with 104 proof, non-chill filtered bourbon. We went to the 10 recipes and we selected six to create a truly different bourbon from our Four Roses small batch, our Four Roses single barrel, or the Four Roses bourbon.
Four Roses is now offering full tours again, which can be booked on its website.
State wildlife officials are issuing guidelines and warnings about feeding bears as the animals become more active in some parts of Kentucky. Officials say an increase in activity can lead to an increase in bear complaints for those living in areas with established populations. The Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources is urging residents to change bad habits, like leaving food in garbage cans that can be toppled by bears. John Hast, a bear program coordinator for the agency, says most bear problems revolve around food, so when a bear gets used to human food, even from the garbage, it begins to lose its fear of people. Officials are forced to euthanize a few bears each year because they presented a potential danger to the public after being fed by humans.
Animal welfare organizations are giving reminders as to why bunnies, chicks, and ducks do not make good Easter presents. WMKY's Chanacy Davis has the story.
According to the Center for Pet Safety, rescue agencies are swamped with bunnies, chicks, and ducks in the weeks following the Easter holiday. The animals pose a lot more difficulties than kittens or puppies. According to WKYT, they do not hold up to cuddling as well, as they are fragile and easily injured. Rabbits are often easily scared and will try to escape being held in many cases. Bunnies do make good house pets, but require a lot of attention and education. Ducks and chickens are a different case, as they should never be kept as indoor pets due to the possible spread of salmonella and avian flu. The Center for Pet Safety urges people to instead gift marshmallow chicks and bunnies this year. For WMKY News, I'm Chanacy Davis.
A Floyd County man is in jail facing dozens of counts of child pornography charges. According to WYMT, Kentucky State Police arrested 25-year-old Kyle McFadden today following an undercover investigation by the Electronic Crime Branch. Officials say McFadden uploaded illicit images of children online. During the investigation, police served a search warrant at a house in Wayland and seized the equipment that was believed to have been used in the crime. McFadden is charged with 50 counts of possession of a matter portraying a minor in a sexual performance and was taken to the Floyd County Detention Center.
Kentucky State Police arrested 18-year-old Jordan Witt for allegedly shooting her boyfriend Saturday night in Lawrenceburg. Officials say 19-year-old Kyle York was pronounced dead Sunday morning at a hospital. Witt was accused of placing a loaded pistol at York's head while being under the influence. Kentucky State Police Trooper Bernie Napier says WKYT Witt might not have meant to kill York.
The charge for wanton murder, which could still leave it in the realm of an accident, but again, that's still under investigation.
Witt will be arraigned Monday in Anderson County District Court. She is charged with murder.
An illegally parked car led to drug charges filed against a Pikeville woman. EKB News reports police found 21-year-old Jessica King unconscious on the driver's seat of a vehicle yesterday afternoon. Police say King initially refused to exit the vehicle. When she was removed, they say they found crystal meth and drug paraphernalia. King was taken to Pikeville Medical Center for treatment. She is charged with public intoxication, possession of a controlled substance, possession of drug paraphernalia, and resisting arrest. She is lodged in the Pike County Detention Center.
An Ohio man accused of claiming to be a missing Illinois child is facing new charges. WKYT reports a federal jury indicted 23-year-old Brian Michael Rennie on two counts of lying to federal agents and one count of aggravated identity theft. He was arrested earlier for claiming to be Timothy Pitson, a 6-year-old who went missing in 2011. Authorities said they are not taking Rennie's actions lightly.
Clearly, false reports like this one can be painful to the families of missing children. And they also divert valuable law enforcement resources in order to investigate untruthful claims.
Rennie is held on a $500,000 cash bond. His arraignment is scheduled for Friday.
Mastodon bones were found in a southern Indiana farm last Friday as crews were working on a sewage pipeline. Heavy bones, including limbs, a tusk, and part of an American mastodon skull, were discovered 6 feet under the ground. Ron Richards is a senior research curator of paleobiology with the Indiana State Museum and Historic Sites. He confirmed that they belong to a male mastodon that appears to have been 42 years old when it died almost 12,000 years ago. Sue Nairt says she hopes the bones will be preserved so the family can enjoy them for years to come.
We just want to share them with our kids and grandkids and everybody that we can, because we think it's a really neat find.
Since the bones were unearthed a week ago, they have already started to dry out. Experts are working to preserve them.
A new superhero movie is opening the curtain on the plight of children in need of foster care. DC's Shazam is about a 14-year-old boy in foster care who is gifted superhero powers. In the film, he must struggle with his superhero powers and his position in his new family. To coincide the release of the film, recruitment events were held at theaters in Ohio and four other states. Brian Stanton is a foster and recruitment supervisor with the Division of Children and Family Services. He says the event was quite successful.
Very rarely did we have a unique partnership like this one was that really brought people just to learn about foster adoption. We're actually excited. The movie did really well, too, in the theaters, which is good. We have hopes of continuing to go out on some weekends and set up our informational booths.
Stanton says the opioid epidemic has greatly increased the need for foster parents who can provide kids with a safe place to live until they can be reunited with their biological families or adopted into a permanent home.
As summer approaches, the danger kids can face while riding bikes is becoming more of a concern. That's why the Ohio Department of Transportation has teamed up with the Ohio chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics for their Put a Lid on It campaign. This spring, ODOT will be handing out 9,000 bike helmets across Ohio. According to the Ohio Department of Transportation, the number of Ohioans killed while riding a bicycle has increased by 22% in 9 years. With countless distractions on the road, Keisha Adkins tells WSAZ that she has some concerns about the safety of children.
When they're driving, they're not watching as much. You know, there's too much social media. People are on their phones more.
ODOT recommends that drivers look for people biking when turning and put away phones to avoid any accidents, especially during the summer months.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight, periods of showers and possibly a thunderstorm with a low around 43. Saturday, periods of showers with a high around 45. Saturday night, showers likely with a low around 40. Sunday, partly sunny with a high near 65. Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 43. Monday, mostly sunny with a high near 78. Monday night, partly cloudy with a low around 52. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Ashland, it's 65. In Inez, it's 63. In Winchester, it's 51. In Lexington, it's 50. In Flemingsburg, it's 52. And here in Moorhead, it's 61 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff ponders the fringe and how each of us may be a part of it.
Out here in the studio, as the trucks go by, wondering if I wanted to find the headquarters for the Flat Earth Society, where would I look? Well, turns out the Flat Earth Society won't be hard to find. Just start at the edge and walk around in shrinking circles, and along the way, they'll be there, the people who posit that our Earth is flat. Oh, that's so silly. Yeah. Here's how they do it. As a theory in search of data, Flat Earth quickly finds a gold mine. Abundant evidence exists, including photographic, along with mountains of testimonials of Flat Earth experts. Even Smithsonian Magazine got interested back in 2016, publishing one famous Flat Earth photo of two cities miles apart and a caption reading, "Where's the curve?" Here we won't explain how curves can be big or small, since that involves circles and spheres and nasty geometric conspiracies based on them. Armed with photos, testimony, and expert opinion, Flat Earthers proceed to gather themselves by the thousands, local, national, international, conferences, conventions, merchandise, books, and more books. One Australian, now living in the United States, argued, using Oprah's My Truth approach to life, the Flat Earth theory, by observing that her childhood down under would have been spent hanging by her toes if the Earth weren't flat. You almost have to feel sorry for all the Flat Earthers until you realize that half of them are kidding. The other half, when examined in a certain way, really are not much different than the factions that our nation imagines are dividing us. Fascist versus anti-fascist, indistinguishable in behavior. conservative versus liberal, theist versus atheist, women and men, and more than ever, person versus person, wherein and whereby each side thinks the other thinks something as crazy as the flat earthers. As easily as you can knock over the flat earth theory by carefully considering their evidence. That is how easily you knock over the arguments of the other side in politics, religion, and sexuality. Alas, if this is true, someone is just as handily dismissing you. You are the flat earther to someone on the other side. It may appear to others that your view has a certain internal logic and is supportable with a little tilt of the head by evidence that sometimes appears convincing, but as adversaries often say, agreeing that a piece of evidence is genuine is not the same thing as agreeing on what to do or think about it. Keeping the Flat Earth Society in mind, the one that says there's a massive conspiracy of white-coat-wearing people of all nationalities cooperating to convince us all that the Earth is an orb floating in space, that we are all accepting a story as preposterous as the one that reigned in Galileo's time. Keep in mind also that liberal, that conservative, that social justice warrior, that devout religious, that atheist, that constitutionalist, that progressive, that equal rights warrior, that misandrist, that misogynist, are they all not some form of flat earther? Oh, of course, not really, not to themselves, but to the others who look over at them in amazement and disappointment. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. The time is 4:51. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Naya Andwaza, and we are glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Nacogdoches Miller has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
The Eagles win the series but lose the final. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller. The Baseball Eagles lost the final game of three-game series with Eastern Illinois this afternoon in Moorhead. MSU began the series Thursday with an 11-8 win for the Eagles. Moorhead came out on top again in the evening matchup, this time 10-8. This afternoon, the Eagles led until Eastern pushed ahead in the top of the four innings. The Panthers grabbed the win 5-4. Eagles head coach Mike McGuire says it's a matchup they should have won.
Let some opportunities go early, and then had the big inning, just couldn't. Yeah, I thought the tough part of the ball game was obviously after we scored the fourth spot. A kid came in and kind of dominated us there in the fifth and sixth.
Moorhead State has the weekend off. They'll travel to Marshall on Tuesday afternoon for a 3:30 matchup. The Round County softball teams hit the road tonight. The Vikings are headed to the Capital City Showcase, where they face off with Franklin, Ohio tonight. Round is coming off a loss to George Rogers Clark on Thursday night at home. Head coach Larry Sloan says they don't know a lot about the teams they will face this weekend.
Trying to just do the things we can do to the best of our ability, and we can't control the other team if we don't know them or how to play them or anything. We just go into it blind, and hopefully we will continue to do the things that we know we can do well.
The Vikings are slated to face off with Franklin County at noon and Simon Keaton at 3 p.m. on Saturday, weather permitting. The Round County baseball team heads to Russell tomorrow for the Frank Bloom Invitational. The 16-3 Vikings face off with 5-7 Mason County at 1 p.m. They meet 10-6 Russell at 3:30. Round head coach Scott Collins says the Vikings know what to expect from the hosting school.
I did go out and scout Russell, myself and Coach Ward. We went up and watched them play Raceland the other night. So we know a little bit about him. Of course, we played him in the regional semifinals last year. So, and they have a lot of the same kids back. So, we're somewhat familiar with them.
Collins says game times might change depending on the weather. The Moorhead State Beach Volleyball team will welcome the University of Louisville to Fazoli's Breadstick Beach tomorrow. The postseason matchup is part of the Morehead State Athletics 2019 Swing into Spring event on Saturday that will feature beach volleyball, baseball taking on Ohio Valley Conference foe Eastern Illinois, and the MSU football team hitting the gridiron for their annual spring game. Head volleyball coach and interim athletic director Jamie Gordon says the Cardinals are considering adding beach volleyball to their school athletics lineup.
They're taking one of their spring competition dates, and they've been training for the last few weeks, and we'll have the opportunity to host them at Breadstick Beach on Saturday, and I'm excited to be a part of a big day of athletics.
Fans are invited to attend all events free of charge and are encouraged to set up tailgating spots in designated areas. Morehead State Athletics hosts its 2019 Swing into Spring event this Saturday. Things get started with beach volleyball matchup with the University of Louisville at 10:30 a.m., followed the baseball team taking on Eastern Illinois at 2. The main event is the annual Morehead State football spring game. Morehead's football coach Rob Tenier says this game will be a good gauge of the team.
You know, a little bit of a fluff scrimmage, so we're going to go out and we're going to do some certain scenarios. We're not going to do much kicking, if at all. So we're going to get anywhere from 40 to 55 reps, and that'll be sufficient enough. We want to get out of this day healthy, but still want to get a good evaluation, let our guys play a little bit, compete one last time in front of some people in the stands.
The game kicks off at 6 p.m. at the Jane Stadium. Following the conclusion of the regular season, Morehead State Beach Volleyball's Chandler Clark has been bestowed Atlantic Sun Conference postseason honors for her role as a student athlete. WMKY's Grant Johnson has the story.
The Seymour, Indiana native has been named one of 10 A-Sun student athletes, which comprise of the league's all-academic team. Clark, a junior in the competition, becomes the first Morehead State Beach Volleyball student athlete to be named an A-Sun all-academic team. In the classroom, Clark maintains a 4.0 cumulative GPA as she pursues a Bachelor in Business Administration in Accounting, a degree that she will obtain in just over 3 weeks. Her exceptional grade point average has secured her as the only student athlete of the 10-member all-academic team to hold a perfect GPA. Beginning in the fall, Clark will pursue her Master's of Business Administration. For her career, Clark owns 15 victories, a figure that ties for the third most career victories in the program history. For WMKY Sports, I'm Grant Johnson.
University of Kentucky forward E.J. Montgomery announced he will declare for the NBA draft. WKYT says Montgomery can sign with a certified agent, but he can return to school if he cuts ties and withdraws by May 29th. Montgomery is a freshman at the University of Kentucky. He averaged 3.8 points and 4.1 rebounds per game in 37 games last season. Montgomery is not projected to be a first-round pick during the draft. Churchill Downs will invest $8 million for an on-site equine medical center as part of several other measures to improve safety for horses and riders. The medical center is expected to open next March and will include a quarantine facility. Next month's Kentucky Derby will have a temporary medical center. The track's parent company, Churchill Downs Incorporated, will also hire an equine medical director to oversee safety at its facilities. The historic track will also install camera surveillance with other improvements to the backside area. Churchill Downs and several other tracks announced they would phase out the use of the anti-bleeding medication Lasix for horses within 24 hours of racing yesterday. The track later announced other initiatives, including advocating for additional equine medication reforms, the formation of an Office of Racing Integrity that will develop uniformed medication and safety standards, formalizing concussion protocol for jockey safety, and adopting international standards for riding crop use. For WMKY Sports, I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagles softball will host SIU Edwardsville at noon and 2 p.m. next Wednesday. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com. Taking a look at your...
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Cassidy Stearman, Tandy Wallingford, Haley Stidham, Shanice Davis, Grant Johnson, Brian Courtney, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. And our feature commentary today came from MSU professor Dr. John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Naya Andwaza and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.